You would take your Bibles and turn in them, please, to Mark chapter 10. Our text today, Mark 10, I'm going to begin reading verse 46 and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 52. Mark 10, beginning there in verse 46. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly bow before you, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that this seed of your word is now sown among us will take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution would cause it to wither, or the thorny cares of this life would choke it out, but like seed sown in good ground, it would bring forth 30 or 60 or even 100-fold as your heavenly wisdom has appointed. Bless us now, we pray. Lord, our desire is that we might hear your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know how you feel at the end of a really long road trip? Finally see a sign that says it's only like 15 or 20 miles to your destination. What a relief that is. Or if you're a hiker, and I can tell you from personal experience, when you've been out on the trail for 9 or 10 miles and you're getting near the place where the shelter ought to be, there's a relief, a joy in your heart. I think that's how the disciples must have felt here. Jerusalem is only a hard day's walk away. If you remember, when we started this journey, they left Bethsaida and went north. They went to the far north, to Caesarea Philippi, and now they have traveled to Jericho, almost within sight of Jerusalem. You know, Jews who were traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem would detour around the Samaritan territory by crossing the Jordan River and traveling through Perea on the east side of the Jordan. And then they would cross the Jordan again at Jericho and begin the steep climb up to Jerusalem. And when I say steep, I want you to know Jericho is about 800 feet below sea level. Jerusalem, 15 miles away, is about 2,500 feet above sea level. That's 3,300 feet difference in elevation. To maybe put that in perspective for you, Homewood's about 15 miles from here, and we're about 700 feet above sea level here. To approximate what they're facing going up to Jerusalem, there would have to be a mountain that's 4,000 feet high in Homewood. That would kind of give you the sense of what lays ahead here. So, and I've made the point before, when the scripture says they're going up to Jerusalem, they're going up to Jerusalem. So also, kind of refresh your memory, if you remember, I promised you a giant inclusio back in chapter 8, verse 22 to 26, the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida. Well, here's the other end of the bracket. The healing of blind Bartimaeus at Jericho. The blind man at Bethsaida, as Jesus and his disciples began their circuitous journey to Jerusalem, and Bartimaeus, the blind man, as they get ready to enter Jerusalem, that kind of brackets this whole trip that they have been on. And really what we see here, there's been some high points in this journey. You remember Peter's confession of Christ. There was the transfiguration. But also throughout this journey, we have seen the disciples not really understanding what Jesus has said many times. We've seen, if you want to say that, the blindness of the disciples as they listened to Jesus' words, and this whole trip bracketed by these healings of these two blind men. This is the last healing miracle in Mark. And this is the only healing where the person who's healed is named. We've heard the names of some of the relatives and others of other people who were healed, but none of the people who have been healed have been named. And as far as we can tell, none of the others joined the group of disciples as Bartimaeus did here. It could be the case that the reason he's named is because he became well known, at least in Mark's church. Matthew and Luke don't give his name. But let me say, just to pass over this story as another healing is to miss the point. This is a vivid picture of spiritual things, and in some ways, it's a recap of the theological insights of this trip. Bartimaeus was sitting by the road begging as Jesus and the crowd with him came to Jericho. Now, let me just say, as an aside, if you look at the parallels in Luke and Matthew, one of them says they were entering Jericho, and one says they were leaving Jericho. And some people who like to tear down the scripture, like to focus on things like that, don't be troubled by that. There are two Jerichos. There's the old Jericho, and there's a new Jericho that Herod built, just a little bit south of the old city. And Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he wasn't stupid. He situated himself on the road between the two towns to get the most exposure. Bartimaeus obviously hears the noise of this big crowd traveling with Jesus, and he's out there, he's intent on asking for money. So he undoubtedly inquires about the source of such a large crowd. I mean, he can hear the people passing by every day, but obviously this is a much bigger crowd. There's much chatter among the people and the noise as they're walking along, and probably some of their animals and so forth. And he's told it's Jesus of Nazareth. Pay particular attention to that. It's Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by. Now, Jesus was one of the most common names in Israel in the first century. Yeshua. Joshua, we call him in the Old Testament. So the additional identification of Nazareth was natural. There's a lot of Yeshuas there in Israel. And it's really needed because this is Judea, not Galilee. Jesus has not spent much of his time recently in this area. So when Bartimaeus hears this, he cries out. but he doesn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." What's he say? He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you see a little parallel there with some of the high points of this journey? After Jesus and the disciples left Bethsaida and the healing of the blind man, they go to Caesarea Philippi, the site of Peter's confession of Christ. And when Jesus asked the disciples there, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, "You are the Christ, that is the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone." Bartimaeus calls to Jesus as Son of David. This is functionally the same, it's equivalent to Christ. Now the disciples have obeyed Jesus' command not to tell anyone, and no other person has addressed Jesus in such messianic terms. In fact, this is the only instance in Mark when Jesus is addressed as the Son of David. Could it be, as Jesus said of Peter, excuse me, this was special spiritual insight bestowed by the Father? Whether or not we can say that of Bartimaeus, we can say that the journey to Jerusalem begins and ends with the confession of Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. And Bartimaeus' shouted confession of Christ really introduces the more public aspect of Jesus' messianic ministry. Now, Bartimaeus may have been blind, but the eyes of his understanding were wide open. He saw things that the religious leaders in Jerusalem and most of the crowd, excuse me, following Jesus never saw. He didn't see an itinerant preacher from Galilee. He saw that Jesus was the Son of David, the long-awaited, the long-promised Messiah. And he shouted all the more as the crowd of disciples tried to shush him. You know, he was probably a familiar figure to the people of Jericho. He's out there every day. That's the only way he has of trying to provide for himself. And they probably chided him for making a nuisance of himself. But he will not be put off by the rebuke of the crowd. In faith, he yells out more desperately, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't care about the rebuke of the uncaring bystanders. He had faith that Jesus could heal him. You know, we should pray that we have such faith. You can't see Jesus with your eyes, but you've heard of him in the gospel. You've heard of his power to save. Don't be afraid to call on him. After all, isn't the first step in the Christian life so often, "Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner"? We must not pay attention to or care about what others think, especially what they think about us, when we seek the healing of our souls. And as Bartimaeus cries out even louder, Jesus, probably to the surprise of many, stops the crowd and says, "Call him and tell him to come here." And the word "call" is very prominent there in verse 49, if you look at your text. Jesus says, "Call him." The crowd called to the blind man and said, "Get up, cheer up. He's calling you." Bartimaeus leaps to his feet and comes to Jesus, probably with the help of some of his disciples. Then notice the question. Jesus doesn't say, "I'm Jesus, what's your name? How long have you been blind?" He doesn't ask, you know, any pleasantries. He says, "What? What do you want me to do for you?" It's the same exact question he asked James and John week before last. We looked at that when they made their request. What do you want me to do for you? And as we saw James and John's answer, it was very telling. They want to sit on thrones with Jesus and reign with him in glory. Bartimaeus sits in the dust. He doesn't ask for glory. He cries out from his wretched poverty, "I want to see." You know, the disciples see Jesus as the Messiah who will bring them authority and glory. And Bartimaeus sees Jesus as Messiah, as the Son of David, who brings healing and sight. Where did he get such an idea? He certainly hadn't witnessed any of Jesus' miracles. He may have heard rumors of his powerful deeds. But isn't it more likely that he had heard the prophet Isaiah read, just as you heard it this morning? I believe he knew of Isaiah's prophecy, that Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. He believed the word of the Lord. Here's the blind man who can see, and the disciples whose blindness to the word of the Lord has been shamefully demonstrated over and over on this trip to Jerusalem. And Jesus simply says to Bartimaeus, "Go. Your faith has healed you." That's all. There's a conspicuous lack of emphasis on the healing itself. Jesus has told many who were healed to go, but Bartimaeus, however, doesn't go. Now with his eyes wide open, he decides to follow Jesus. And like the first disciples, he leaves everything and follows Jesus. He abandons his former way of life. He throws his cloak aside and goes after Jesus. We're not told, but the implication is that he throws the cloak off and goes and doesn't go back for it. Probably isn't worth anything anyway. But do you see here perhaps a parallel to something else we saw on this journey? How about the rich young ruler? He wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, "You lack one thing." He said, "Go sell all of your stuff and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And he went away sad, because he had great wealth. And leaving just a cloak behind may seem a whole lot easier than selling everything you have. But in a sense, Bartimaeus left all to follow Jesus. That's why Jesus said it's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? We know the name of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. Thousands of years later, we know the name of Bartimaeus. But the rich man, a ruler and rich, we have no idea what his name was. Jesus' recurrent theme on this trip has been what? The last will be first, and the first will be last. Jesus' extended teaching throughout this trip on the reversal of the world's values in the kingdom of God is really summed up in the recruitment of this least likely disciple. poor blind beggar. And he followed Jesus in the way. I know the NIV here tries to make this clear by saying he followed Jesus along the road. He did. But the Greek is in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. I think this is particularly thought-provoking because by the time Mark wrote this, the early church was growing and multiplying. And it was generally in the early days called the way. As Paul testified to Felix in Acts 24, verse 14, he said, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. Set free from his blindness, he followed Jesus in the way. Bartimaeus is a striking picture of all those who found enlightenment from their spiritual blindness and followed Jesus in the way. Bartimaeus went from sitting by the way to following Jesus in the way when the word of the Lord opened his eyes. Are you sitting by the way? Or are you following Jesus in the way? Bartimaeus refused to leave the one from whom he had received such mercy. He followed Jesus. We ought to recognize in these simple words a great picture of the effect that the grace of Christ ought to have on everyone who has received such great mercy. We should do as Bartimaeus and confess before men that Jesus of Nazareth, the historical Jesus, is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God and Savior of sinners. We should not listen to the clamoring voices of society that tell us to keep quiet. We must proclaim who Jesus is, Savior, Messiah, Son of God, not just a prophet, not just a good man or some other such epithets the world likes to hang on him. Like Bartimaeus, we must be willing to forsake all for Christ. What's holding you back from wholeheartedly following Jesus? Remember the words of Jesus. Anyone who comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciples. Now you know he's not talking about an active animosity. Discipleship simply means loving Jesus so much that all the other loves of your life pale in comparison. All the great loves of your life are hatred by comparison with the love that you have for Christ. And it's easy. It's easy to see why Bartimaeus loved Jesus. He was blind. He was sitting in darkness every day. Then at once he could see. His whole life was changed. He was no longer consigned to sitting in the dust by the way. And in his gratitude, he devoted himself to Jesus and followed him in the way. Well, what about you? You once were blind, but now you can see. You can see how deep and dark were your sins. But now, freely pardoned, by such a price such as the very blood of the Son of God, should you not devote yourself wholeheartedly to following the one who redeemed you? You know, grace truly experienced will make you ask the question, like the psalmist, Psalm 116, verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Well, I don't know that you can. But how about freely and willingly giving yourself to Christ's service, following him in the way? You know, all true Christians should. The one who boasts of being a Christian but does not follow Christ in his life is self-deceived. He's walking in darkness and he's ruining his own soul. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, we would cry out, open our eyes that we might see. We might see and understand and recognize how deep was our sin, how great was your grace. Lord, how wondrous is our salvation. And Lord, that we might follow you wholeheartedly, that we might testify, we might cry out to a world that is lost and dying, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Lord, help us that we not be deterred by the criticism or the attempts of the culture to tell us to be quiet, to not say what is true. Lord, help us to hold forth the word of truth as we should. Lord, help us as your people to walk in the way, to follow you, our great Savior, our great Redeemer. And Lord, may we count, as Paul said, all this of this world is rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, help us, we pray, Lord, to be your people, to walk as Christ walked, to follow after you. And Lord, may it all be for your glory and your honor. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.